Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith. And in this chapter, we're seeing men and women who took God at His Word. And that's what faith is. Faith is taking God at His Word. It's trusting God and believing what He says. We're seeing a listing of men and women from the Old Testament, written, of course, by whoever wrote the book of Hebrews. We don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but he's writing, and he's reminding people about what these people in the Old Testament have done. And as we look at this passage, our goal, of course, is the same thing, that we would be encouraged to be men and women of faith, that we would take God at His Word. This morning, we're seeing one of the most famous men who ever lived. It's Abraham. Abraham is called a man of faith. In fact, what we're looking at today in this passage, we're calling the obedience of faith. And we'll talk about it as we go through it. We see that he took God at His Word and he acted upon it. And we want to be men and women who take God at His Word and act upon it and live it out. And this morning, we're seeing the man Abraham, the obedience of faith. Well, I talked about this just a little bit last week, but there's controversy, and it's always been this issue, even from the beginning of the church, on the issue of salvation. Is salvation by grace through faith? Is salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone? Or is salvation something we do? Is it that we turn from our sin and we give our life to Jesus and we serve Him? There are some who say that in order to be saved, not only do you believe in Jesus Christ, but you give your life in service. You make a public profession. You turn away from your sins. You seek to live for Christ. And if you don't live for Christ, you're not really a Christian. Others like us make this distinction, and we say, no. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. You trust in Jesus, and you're saved forever. And your service for Him is different. Let me show you. We put this up here, and we talk about it, that being a believer costs us absolutely nothing. Jesus Christ died for us, paid for sin, and rose again. He offers the gift of eternal life by grace. You've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we don't do anything to have eternal life and to be saved. We take the gift of eternal life. But to be a disciple now costs us. To say, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to take up my cross and follow Him. As Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, offer your life as a living sacrifice. That's a totally different thing. There's a distinction. One is free, the gift of eternal life. The other costs us, and that's discipleship. As we look this morning at the life of Abraham, we're going to see a distinction, because Abraham was known as a man of faith. And you go back to Genesis 15, it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So a man of faith, faith alone for eternal life, for righteousness. But we see Abraham was also willing to leave where he lived. And God said, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you, that I'm going to give you. And Abraham packed up and left. And we see that he said, my life is in God's hand. I will go wherever God wants me to do and whatever He wants me to do. That's discipleship. And we'll see that as we go through our passage. Let me remind you of Hebrews 11. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith because it's men and women who trusted God, who lived out His Word, who lived out their faith. We said that the definition of faith is simply taking God at His Word. That's what it is. You see the Word of God, you see the truths. To come to Jesus Christ and to have eternal life by faith is that you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you and that He offers you the gift of eternal life. And that when you trust in Christ, He gives you life, life forever. Hebrews 11, we're seeing faith in action, the lives of these Old Testament believers, living by faith and the truths and the principles that God revealed to them and what He gives to us as well. So far, we've seen several acts of faith. Here's what we've seen. We saw in verse 3, creation by faith. By faith, we believe that the worlds were created by the spoken word of God out of nothing. We saw in verse 4 the sacrifice of faith, where Abel brought a better sacrifice than Cain because he brought a sacrifice of a blood sacrifice, which was the foreshadow of the Messiah. We saw in verse 5, we saw a walk of faith, which Enoch walked, a man by faith walked with God, and God actually took him off the face of the earth to be with Him because he was a man of faith. And then last week, we saw a work of faith. We saw Noah. It had never even rained, and yet God said, there's going to bring a flood on the earth, and I'm going to destroy the earth, and I want you to build a big boat, and I want you to get two of every animal, and I want you and your sons and wives and get on the boat. And he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. We called it a work of faith because he built the ark, and we saw that last week. Well, this morning, we're seeing one of the most famous men in the Bible. His name is Abraham. And we're calling this one obedience of faith because he left his home to go to the promised land. And, Abraham is really a famous man as you start looking at the Bible. In fact, he's probably more famous than almost any other person who's ever lived. You can go almost any part of the world and say the name Abraham. And many people know who Abraham was, and many people have a connection with Abraham. Let me give you a background. When you think about Abraham, he was the father of the Jewish people. God chose Abraham, or a man named Abram, we'll see it a little bit later. He was living in the Ur of the Chaldees, which is where modern-day Iran and Iraq is. And God chose him and said he was going to take this man. He said, I'm going to take you. I'm going to make a great nation from you. I'm going to make a people group come from you. You're going to be the head of a chosen people. And his descendants, we call them Jews. We call them Israelites. We call them Hebrews. And through this man, Abraham, came what we call the Jewish people. Three religions. When you say religions, I don't like to count Christianity as religion, because religion is man trying to do something to get to God, where Christianity is God doing it all. But there are three religions in the world that count themselves from Abraham. You think of the Jewish people, Judaism. I think we got it right there. Judaism goes back to Abraham. Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and on down. He's the father of the Jewish people. Islam. Islam goes back to Abraham, because Abraham had a son named Ishmael. And many people say that Ishmael was the son that all the promises were supposed to come through. That's not true. They came through Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah and on down. And then even as Christians, we look back to Abraham, and it's because we realize that through Abraham came the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Christianity is actually the fulfillment of Judaism, because all of the promises to the nation of Israel and the promises of the Messiah are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So it's a famous man. By the way, his name started off as Abram, which means big daddy. It means high father. It meant you got a lot of kids. You're a big man. He had no children. At age 75, no children. God came and changed his name and said, you're now going to be Abraham, which means father of many nations. Still didn't have any children. It was 100 years old before he had the son that would be the one that the promise that God had told him about. When you think about these people that came through Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 tribes and on down, what do we have from these people? I it's amazing to me. I get a Jewish newspaper that's online, and it's not Christian, it's Jewish. It's straight from Jerusalem. And, you know, there's persecution of Jewish people all over this world. And it amazes me, because when you really think about it, we as Christians, we who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we ought to say we love Jewish people. Our Savior's Jewish. The Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David to Jesus. That's our heritage. And when you think about the Jewish people, what did God use them for? Because let me tell you, when we say chosen people, they're not chosen for salvation. Nobody's chosen for salvation. You're chosen for service. Paul was chosen for service. Jesus was chosen for service. The Jewish people were chosen for service. God said two things I'm going to do through these Jewish people. Number one, I'm going to give the Word of God. The Bible is a written revelation from God through Jewish people. And second is, he gave us the Messiah, the Savior of the world. When God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless the entire world through Abraham, the only way that can happen is the Messiah and the Savior came through Abraham to be the Savior of the world. So let's think about that. You're in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 8. Look what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I'm going to give you more details in just a minute, but I want you to think about this. It says by faith, and that's the way all of the passages begin when it's talking about a particular person. It says, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abel, by faith Abraham. And by faith was taking God at his word. It says, by faith when he was called. The word called actually means invited. God said, hey, I invite you. I invite you, Abraham, to come to a place. I invite you to come to a land. I invite you to come to a land that I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to give it to you. That's what he basically tells him. God told him to do something. He was set apart to do something, and he obeyed. That's why we call this obedience of faith. And what we're going to do, normally if we didn't have Easter next week, I would say this week and next week we're going to look at something. But this week, and we're going to skip a week, but I want to show you two different things. That in verse 8, he went to a place. We call that obedience of faith. But in verse 9, it was dwelling by faith, because he lived as a stranger. And we're going to talk about it today. I'm going to give you kind of a preview of what we're going to see in verses 9 and 10. Most of it's going to be 8, but we're going to see 9 and 10 a little bit today. I want you to see this. And here is the key. He obeyed God. That's why he's a man of faith. He took God at his word. So let's look at it. And let's look this morning at Abraham and his obedience of faith. And sometimes people will, you know, you'll get a call, you'll get a job. Somebody will say, you got a job, and you say, well, if we get this job, we'll move to you know, Amarillo. If we get this job, we'll move to Dallas. Or, we, you know, and so we think about, gosh, do I do this or not? God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your descendants. And Abraham could say, I don't have any descendants. But that's not what Abraham said. Abraham said, we're packing, we're leaving, and we're going to see what he did. Obedience of faith. Notice what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. And I want you to think about this called, because the idea means to be invited. When he was invited, he obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. The way this is written in the Greek, because this is the New Testament, this is written in the Greek, it actually says, as he was being invited, he was going. That's what it means. It happens at the same time. So it's almost like God said, Abraham, I want you to leave. And he's going, we're leaving. We're packing up. We're packing up. God's still talking to him, and we're loading the truck. You know, that's what we're doing. And we would say, as God was inviting him, he was leaving. And then notice what it says. He was called to go to a place he would receive for an inheritance. Now, sometimes in our families, people pass away, and they have wills and things, and they leave us things, and they say, this is an inheritance for you. You know, you're going to get this. God said, I've got a land for you, and it will be for you and your family and your descendants forever. What is that land? It's the land. It's the modern land of what we call Israel. But let me just say something to you. The land that he promised to Israel, if you go to Genesis 15, it's not a little bitty strip of land. It starts all the way over to the Nile River and goes to the Tigris-Euphrates River. It's almost the whole Middle East. Jewish people have never lived in all of their land. They will one day when Jesus comes as the king and rules. And so he was called to go to a place that he was going to get it as an inheritance. And he said, yes. God said, go to this land, and he got up and left. He lived in the Ur of the Chaldees. Most believe that the people who lived in Ur, you are, they worshipped a moon god. Abraham didn't worship the moon god. Abraham worshipped the true God. And when the true God came to Abraham and said, I want you to leave this land and go to a land that's going to give you, he left. He went north all the way up to Haran, which is modern-day Iran, Iraq, that part of the world. Then he left, and he went across the Tigris.